Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines kicking off the show for us here this morning, joining us live from Capitol Hill in Washington. Senator, great to have you on the show. I think this is our first time catching up after the final end of the government shutdown. What's on the docket here as we head into the final stretch here in December?
Well, I tell you, it's, sometimes it feels like lather, rinse, repeat, because we still face on January 30th another deadline. As we got the Democrats to agree to temporarily extend the funding to the end of January, but we're going to face another fight coming up in January. But for December, we want to continue to move forward on President Trump's nominations. We are going to move forward with what we call the N block, a group of 88 of President Trump's nominations. We'll do with one single vote that will happen here over the course of the next several days. One thing that Chuck Schumer did, sadly, this year is he has destroyed the nomination process in the U.S. Senate. It's part of the institution that is a very important constitutional responsibility we have of the advise and consent role of the Senate for President's nominations. And we saw unprecedented obstruction. Never before in the history of our country have we seen this kind of obstruction. They've got Trump derangement syndrome, and they don't want to approve any of Trump's nominations. And consequently, we had to change some of the rules to allow us to move forward in a more efficient manner to actually get President Trump's nominations across the finish line. So we'll get that done. That clears the backlog. We'll have approved more nominations for President Trump than he had at this same time back when he was president the first time in 45, more than during President Biden's tenure in office during the same time. So we're really delivering well right now for the president to get his nominations through. And then, of course, we're battling through on the appropriations process just to get these spending bills put together. But I tell you, we're not getting a lot of cooperation from our friends across the aisle. And they should not shut down the government on January 30th. But I tell you what, Aaron, there's some Democrats that just want to burn this place down, do all they can to undermine President Trump. So we're going to have a fight, certainly, in January if they come back after the holidays.
Well, and some folks are wondering. In fact, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said, I know we've only got a minute here before our first break, but Secretary Bessent says, look, if the Democrats are, you know, try to shut down the government again at the end of January, I know Republicans don't want to do away with the filibuster, but he says it may be time to abrogate the filibuster.
Well, I looked at that issue for a long time on the filibuster. The challenge we're going to have is if the Democrats ever do take control of the U.S. Senate and they have the House and the presidency, unified government, in other words, they will do that. And you think about the filibuster is a something that we have a simple 51-vote threshold for Supreme Court nominations, federal judges, and all presidential nominations. So if you're willing to go to 51 votes for a lifetime appointment in the Supreme Court, then I think it's a sound argument to say, then why not 51 votes for a law that could be changed in a future Congress? But the problem is, if the Democrats ever get control, they will use the filibuster leverage to not just pass laws that they want to have from the far left, but they will fundamentally change the structure of government with four new U.S. senators, because they'll put Puerto Rico and D.C. as states. They'll pack the Supreme Court at 13 versus 9 justices, and they'll blow up all voter integrity laws that states have put in place. And so that's the great risk of blowing the filibuster. And anyway, I'm sure that fight will continue as we turn the corner in January. I know President Trump would like to see that done.
All right. Quick break here as we catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. A lot to talk about. I want to start with this incredible cabinet meeting yesterday once again. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies as high temperature readings will stay around the lower 30s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with overnight lows in the upper teens to around 20. And then we'll see considerable cloudiness on Thursday. Some scattered snow showers with high temperature readings up in the mid and upper 30s for most areas. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Senator, I tell you what, I think it was his ninth cabinet meeting live on television yesterday. I always get a kick out of President Trump's cabinet meetings, but I loved how Secretary of War Pete Hegseth just destroyed the fake news media, almost like the way they're destroying these narco-terrorist boats in the Caribbean.
Well, you know, you think about Aaron, what the president is doing there in Venezuela, in the waters there between Venezuela and the United States. This is an issue, by the way, that Americans overwhelmingly support President Trump. This is a 70-30 type issue. You have a president that's going after Maduro, who is an indicted narco-terrorist. There's narco-terrorists and there's indicted narco-terrorists. He has launched a drug war against the United States. We lose more Americans to illegal drugs than any other cause of death. It's a leading cause of death for 18 to 45-year-olds in America. We lost 105,000 Americans in 2023 to illegal drugs. The cost to our economy is somewhere between $1 and $2 trillion. We think about the impact on the healthcare system, the social cost on these illegal drugs. But here's another staggering fact. More Americans have died from illegal drug overdoses in the last 7 years than all of our U.S. military casualties of World War I, World War II, and Vietnam combined. And furthermore, under Joe Biden's watch, cocaine deaths, and cocaine's the primary drug coming from Colombia to Venezuela to the United States, they rose 85% while Joe Biden was president. So thank God we've got a president that's taken the fight to the narco-terrorists versus prior presidents that have done nothing about this. So I'm thankful that Pete Hegseth and President Trump are protecting our country. That's a fundamental responsibility of the federal government.
The other one that stood out to me was Energy Secretary Chris Wright talking about energy prices and the continued reduction in energy prices right now, hoping to see that, you know, filter out into broader consumer affordability issues as well. But speaking of energy, though, let's talk some Montana-specific stuff. The Gordon Butte Project, you put out some information on that, I think, that caught my eye here recently.
Well, I have a bill. It's called the Build More Hydro Bill that cuts the red tape on currently 37 stalled hydropower projects that are across the nation. One of those 37 is in Montana. That's the Gordon Butte Pump Storage Project. It's a hydro project that's right outside of Martinsdale, Montana. And you think about hydropower, it's base load source of energy. Very important to distinguish between base loads power sources and intermittent sources. Solar and wind are intermittent sources of energy. The sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow, and so you have variation in the reliability of that energy. Hydropower is baseload power. When hydro is running, it's on constant. And so it's also one of the most affordable sources of energy. So we're blessed in Montana to have a lot of water, a lot of hydropower, and this was one bill that has gotten passed by the U.S. Senate, and we're asking that Speaker Johnson to get that through the House and get that on President Trump's desk.
Yeah, and when you look at just energy prices overall, and I think I just saw a forecast from the EIA that we're going to continue to see a dip in energy prices over the next year or so, then you combine that with the one big beautiful bill, tax provisions, tax relief provisions, that really will kick in coming up in January. I mean, I think about those waiters and waitresses out there that will finally have no tax on tips, so thanks to your efforts, thanks to President Trump's efforts. And, you know, if they file right away in January, apparently they can really see a big chunk of their money coming back to them.
Well, I tell you, this is one of the issues we get litigated in the 26th election. Remember, we stopped the largest tax increase in American history. It was coming. It's going to be a $4.5 trillion tax increase. Had Republicans and President Trump not worked together and got this through the Senate, the House, and on the president's desk there back in July. So we stopped a massive tax increase. But furthermore, you're going to see, as you mentioned, Aaron, you're going to have waiters and waitresses have tax relief because of no tax on tips. You got senior citizens that are going to get tax relief by no taxes on their Social Security checks, which only makes sense. I know so many seniors in Montana are battling higher property taxes. Well, they've got homes traps they've had for many, many years, and they're battling trying to make ends meet. So why not give them a tax break and not tax their Social Security benefits? So there's some really good things coming to the American people in 26. We just have to do a better job as Republicans, Aaron, getting that message out on the tax relief that they're going to be experiencing because of the Big Beautiful Bill.
And with about a minute to go here, that ties in with the special election results in Tennessee. Republicans coming away with a big victory there, 9-point victory, despite an onslaught of out-of-state money pouring in to benefit the Democrats there. What does this mean for Republicans in 26?
Well, first of all, you look at midterm elections for the party that's in power in the presidency are oftentimes kind of headwind elections, in particular when it's a second midterm election. You know, we've had that when Reagan's second midterm election, which was 1986. You look at Bill Clinton's, you look at George Bush's, you look at Barack Obama's, and then you look at now at President Trump. It's just a tougher political environment no matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican in power. You have headwind as the party that's in power. So consequently, last night, when you look at the headwinds that we're facing right now, just in political gravity, combined with the fact it was a special election, it wasn't just a normal congressional election to fill the retirement of Congressman Mark Green's seat there in Tennessee District 7. To win by 9 points last night, I was actually pleasantly surprised here. And there were some pundits out there that said, hey, the Democrats may pick up this seat. Well, not to be heard. And yes, Trump won that district by 22 points in 24. That's a whole different turnout model and so forth. A 9-point win for the new congressman from Tennessee 7 was a good, solid win, and I think we should take away a good win last night. That's a W.
All right. Senator Steve Daines, say hi to everybody at Montana Coffee. Great to catch up.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz. Well, it's the last day of the Montana Grain Growers Association's 70th annual convention, and our coverage is sponsored by Helena Agra Enterprises. Their Innovation Never Stops series celebrates the science, passion, and progress happening every day at Helena. You can learn more at helenaagra.com. Well, incoming MGGA President Steve Sheffels from right here in Great Falls says that despite the lack of a new farm bill, there were some victories this year for wheat growers.
We're witnessing at least to the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, where we got pretty much all of our requests from the federal government in terms of farm safety net, farm estate planning, and making some tax regulations permanent, and just really, really, really helped us out this year.
And he says while the Trump administration's tariffs on other countries is concerning, they haven't impacted U.S. wheat growers to the extent they have others, like soybean farmers.
We made it out to be bigger than it's turned out to be so far. Certainly the tariff issues have hit our input prices with fertilizer and other things, but it really, I don't believe, has hit our export market yet. We owe a great debt of gratitude to our MAP and FMD partners who do things around the Pacific Rim, have trade offices, and make that all flow as smoothly as possible.
Meanwhile, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said Tuesday that the Trump administration will make an announcement next week on further payments to farmers suffering from export losses. However, she also emphasized that the administration's long-term project is to ensure that U.S. farmers can see profits without government assistance. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Mark your calendars. Wednesday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. Join McDonnell Angus for their Beef Country Genetics Sale at the Midland Bull Test in Columbus, Montana. Selling 150 fall and coming two-year-old bulls and 30 commercial bred heifers. Efficiency-proven genetics deliver up to 20% more savings in your cow herd and at the feedlot while maintaining weaning weight. All it takes is using the right bull and the right program. Request your catalog and view videos now at McDonaldBeefCountry.com. Sale broadcast live at FrontierLiveSale.com.
Ranchers, the Blue Ribbon Stock Cow and Bred Heifer Sale at the Public Auction Yards in Billings, Montana is one of America's best. And on December 9th and 10th, over 2,500 bred heifers and 5,000 bred cows sell, including the MC Ranch Company's total dispersion of 1,000 mixed-age cows, 100 bred heifers, and 50 summer and fall pairs. Sale time is 9 a.m. both days. For a complete listing of consignments, visit publicauctionyards.com.
Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, Luther Marquardt, CEO and Executive Vice President at the American Sugar Beet Growers Association for the past 44 years, will retire at the end of 2026. Prior to becoming Executive VP and CEO of ASGA in 1982, Luther was a regional sugar beet grower rep for Michigan and Ohio growers. ASGA's research team, they say, will begin accepting applications January 1st. And finally this morning, farmers and landowners waiting for their annual CRP rental payments should start seeing those funds hit bank accounts this week or next at the latest. CRP pays more than $1.85 billion each year to more than 302,000 landowners across the United States. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a packed schedule here this morning on the show, although we got some time open right now. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of this show, I mentioned this news story yesterday. Laurel has been selected for this new mental health facility. This basically to support prison inmates. So this new mental health facility, despite opposition from a lot of officials in the Yellowstone County, Billings area. You might remember we had Yellowstone County Commissioner Mark Morse on the show detailing his opposition to placing this facility in Yellowstone County, in Billings in particular. And then there were cities like Miles City and Hardin that actually wanted to have the mental health facility located in their towns. But nonetheless, the State Department of Health and Human Services has selected Laurel as the location, and they are moving forward on that front. But two of the lawmakers who are supporting the selection of the Billings area for this mental health facility are going to join us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. So we've heard from opponents to that selection. Now we're going to hear from the supporters of that. We've got State Senator Mike Yakovich and State Senator Dennis Lentz, two Billings Republicans that are going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. And then after that, we got another great guest who's going to join us, Dan Schneider with the Media Research Center. There was a great piece in the Daily Wire that caught my eye yesterday, and I thought, hey, let's see if we can get Dan on the show. I had a bunch of openings yesterday, but we're going to pack a lot in today. And then, of course, we got John Jackson, the Joker from X, joining us after that, where we will continue taking your phone calls on a whole range of topics, as we always do. All right, let's see. I mentioned this with our conversation with Senator Steve Daines opening up the show just a few minutes ago. Pete Hegseth, he just destroyed the fake news media, given their false claims, running with rumors intelligence on these strikes on these narco-terror boats in the Caribbean. Here is Pete Hegseth via Nick Sartor on X. This is straight out of the president's cabinet meeting yesterday.
We're proud to do it.
So you didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that?
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire and smoke. You can't see anything. You got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand. You sit in your air-conditioned offices or up on Capitol Hill, and you nitpick, and you plant fake stories in the Washington Post about kill everybody, phrases on anonymous sources not based in anything, not based in any truth at all. And then you want to throw up really irresponsible terms about American heroes, about the judgment that they made. I wrote a whole book on this topic because of what politicians and the press does to war fighters. President.
Great book, by the way, The War on Warriors, if you haven't read it or listened to it. I know our friend Tim and Savage is always looking for audiobook recommendations for all his travels crisscrossing the state. Here this morning, what should we get to? Oh, one other thing I wanted to say when it comes to the narco-terror strikes in the Caribbean, when it comes to talk about Venezuela and the socialist dictator's connection to these drugs coming to America and to the crime coming to America. Look, as we talked about on the show yesterday, people are sick and tired of hearing about Afghanistan. People are sick and tired of hearing about Somalia. Frankly, you're just sick and tired of hearing about other countries. But let me, this is a point that needs to be made. When we focus on what has been going on in Venezuela, this is an American issue. This isn't just some, oh, what are we doing for these other countries to help these other countries? This is about helping the United States of America. Case in point, we've had Trende Aragua thugs arrested in Montana. We've had their drugs in Montana, just like we've had the Mexican drug cartel operatives in Montana. And so when you target the drug flow of these TDA narco-terrorist thugs, of these drug cartels, you are directly helping Montana and Montanans. And that point needs to be stressed, because I think it's so easy for people to sit back and say, oh, why are we talking about Venezuela? Why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about that? Because it ties right in to everyday problems that we've been having here in Montana. And I think you guys get that. But, you know, it's easier for folks that are just, you know, kind of drive-by news consumers listening to the drive-by media wondering what the heck is going on, et cetera. Man, so many other great highlights from the president's cabinet meeting yesterday. Kristi Noem talking about Minnesota and the fraud coming out of the Somali migrant community. Holy cow, she absolutely tore into Governor Tim Walz there in Minnesota. I think this is the soundbite from Rapid Response 47 on X.
You told me to look into Minnesota and their fraud on visas and their programs. 50% of them are fraudulent, which means that wacko Governor Walz either is an idiot or he did it on purpose. And I think he's both, sir. He brought people in there illegally that never should have been in this country, said they were somebody that they're not. They said they were married to somebody who was their brother or somebody else. Fraudulent visa applications, signed up for government programs, took hundreds of billions of dollars from the taxpayers, and we're going to remove them and we're going to get our money back.
50% of the claims were fraudulent there. And you've got whistleblowers on the record, state employees, public employees. Where's the public employees unions to stand up for these public employee whistleblowers, by the way, who were saying that, yes, Tim Walz was well aware of what was going on, and he wouldn't do anything to stop it because of the political power of the Somali community in Minnesota in particular. And so Secretary Noem was spot on there. With her assessment of Tim Walz, and you guys know it because you got to have your own assessment of Tim Walz during the presidential election last year.
Hearing about Somalia, we're sick of hearing about Afghanistan, we're sick of our taxpayer dollars going to all these people. Remember when immigrants used to come to this country to be free? Now we got all these folks coming here illegally to get stuff for free, but it's not free. You're paying for it. That's what has people so fired up right now. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. This is the show where you get to sound off statewide 9 to 10.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I was checking messages while I was listening to the Farm and Ranch Report a few minutes ago, and I saw we had some great messages from Tim in Billings, and it was something that Victor Davis Hanson was saying, but it was a video, and I didn't have time to watch it, and so I was hoping it was something that I could read, because I really want to hear what Victor Davis Hanson had to say. Whenever I see his write-ups or his videos, it's always great to get the insight of really the military historian, the world historian, and great political commentator, Victor Davis Hanson, the one and only VDH. But, hey, we got Tim in Billings on the phone lines right now. So, Tim, what did VDH have to say, and what do you have to say, even more importantly?
Morning, Aaron. There are two, I want to say they're about 20 minutes long. There's two videos that I got off of YouTube. So they're not a super quick watch, but they're very informative. My biggest takeaway, the thing that I thought was the most interesting, was he used a term that I think should become widely widely used by conservatives around the country to describe these mayors, these senators, these governors in these blue states who are, you know, opposing ICE, opposing the you know, federal employees from doing their jobs, trying to block ICE agents, trying to do all sorts of things, the shenanigans they've been doing, surrounding the courthouses, all this stuff. And he calls them neo-Confederates. And he says, you know, this is an issue that has been decided by bloodshed in our country. And then it was decided again with the Civil Rights Movement. And these Democrats, they're neo-Confederates is what they are. They're just the new Confederates in our country who are thumbing their nose at the federal government, that the Supremacy Clause gives them the authority to do what they are doing. And, you know, like he said, that we fought a bloody battle. We fought a bloody war with thousands of lives given to decide this in our country. And they're teetering on the precipice of, you know, pushing this issue again. And it's just asinine to think that they would think that this is a great idea. And, you know, part of his presentation talks about how, you know, they're okay with the violent rhetoric, the physical violence, things of that nature. But if it were to ever be, you know, if the tables were ever to be turned, they would cry victim just as quickly as could be. And they're just two really great videos. And there's quite a few things in there that are really good, especially talking about how, you know, the facade of Barack Obama is starting to crack because he doesn't have the overwatch from the media that he once had. And that history is starting to reveal that, you know, this guy who came off as this, you know, the pillar of, you know, statesmanship was actually showed the most vitriol of any president when it came to the transition of power. And how, you know, he doesn't have that coverage from the media anymore.
Well, and his signature policy achievement is such a massive failure. Everybody knows Obamacare and what a failure it is. I mean, even the Montana Democrats are acknowledging it's a failure because they're asking for it to continue to have more COVID-era subsidies piled onto it because it's so unaffordable, right?
Exactly. And it's just they're two very, very well done videos, you know, just a lot of information in two short videos. And, you know, I'm not sure if you're able to share those links because of, you know, whoever has the rights to them, but
yeah,
you know,
I think we've played that neo-Confederacy soundbite before. You're right, that is a great one, and it is spot on. And by the way, who were the Confederates? Who was the party of slavery? Who was the party of Jim Crow? Who was the party of sharecropping? Who was the party of modern-day sharecropping, which is the modern-day welfare state? It is, it was, it remains to be the Democrat Party, right? And he's exactly right. They are waging war on the streets because they want this servant class, the illegal aliens, to be their voters and to be their cheap labor so they can undermine American workers. And the neo-Confederates of the Democrat Party remain the same in that regard.
Absolutely.
And the violence in the streets is yet another example of it. Yeah, great point. Tim, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Is the number for you as well if you got something you want to talk about, or you can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit also about energy prices. I found that Fox News story that I was thinking of when I was chatting with Senator Steve Daines earlier in the hour. Here it is. Oil and gas prices expected to stay significantly lower through 2026. EIA, that's the Energy Information Administration, forecasts Brent crude will fall from $69 to $55 per barrel, while U.S. oil production remains steady. So that is the word on that front. Here is Energy Secretary Chris Wright at the President's cabinet meeting on camera yesterday. This one also coming from Rapid Response 47 on X.
Mr. President, I am honored and frankly inspired to sit at this table with this incredible team of leaders that work every day for one and only one constituency, the American people. Not this group or that group, the American people. The price of energy that's very much on the mind of Americans. The biggest determinant of the price of energy is politicians, political leaders, and policies. That's what drives energy prices. Under your leadership, what we've seen in the United States is just a steady drop in the price of gasoline, a huge consumer cost for Americans. As you mentioned early on, well below $3 a gallon right now and trending downwards. There are a number of stations in the heartland of America with $1.99 signs flying today. That's simply impossible without the leadership and changes you've brought. Now, of course, you can go to California, where the average price of gasoline is between $4.50 and $5 a gallon today in California. That's just bad political leaders there and bad policies in California.
And taxes.
And taxes.
Taxes they charge in gasoline are just insane. Terrible.
And electricity prices is a very parallel story, but it's a bigger moving ship, so the changes are a little bit slower, but Americans are outraged at, you know, a roughly 30% rise in the average price of electricity across this country. But everything we are doing together is going to reverse that. Not just stop the rises, but start a downward trajectory in electricity prices. And I can say that with confidence, not because we think these policies will work. We know these policies will work, and I'll get to that in a second. We're going to stop closing power plants. We've already done that, of course. Stop closing the coal power plants and natural gas plants that were shut down. We've got over 30 gigawatts of generators just sitting there today, not allowed to run. Well, of course, we're fixing that immediately. We're going to bring on from our existing grid tens of gigawatts more capacity. It'll drive down the cost of electricity. But if we look at the last 5 years to see what works and what doesn't work, the most Trump-aligned policies in the electricity sector were by, no surprise, one of your cabinet members, Secretary Burgum, for 8 years governor of North Dakota. Over the last 5 years, production and demand for electricity in North Dakota grew 35%. Think what data center boom's going to do. And what happened? Electricity prices went down. Didn't rise slowly. They actually went down those 5 years. That's the answer. Trump-aligned energy policies increased demand for electricity. Nebraska and Texas, more Trump-aligned states, had significant growth in demand for electricity. They had electricity price rises, but well below the price of inflation. Unfortunately, Biden brought all of us a lot of inflation. If you look at the other end of the spectrum, California, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Maryland, I could go on. What happened in those states? Policies and politicians that forced the building of unreliable electricity generation, which requires new infrastructure and transmission lines. And what happened? Today they produce less electricity than they did 5 years ago. A lot of spending money and less electricity. What does that mean? Of course, much faster rises in the price of electricity. Blue states have had 1.5 times faster rise in electricity prices than red states. Red states alone, less than inflation. We need to bring those policies. You are bringing those policies to the national level. We hope the blue states will come along with us, but your policies are going to start the decline of electricity prices nationwide under your leadership by just bringing back common sense. So thank you for allowing me to be part of this team. For people here who are focused on winning, special thanks to Howard and Scotty who were there with me to see the Denver Broncos win on Monday night.
All right, anyway, there you go. That's Energy Secretary Chris Wright, who spends a lot of time here in Montana, by the way, at the President's Cabinet meeting yesterday. All right, back right after this. Phone lines are open for you.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This truck driver is now charged with killing this newlywed couple, horrific crash in Oregon, an illegal immigrant granted a commercial driver's license in the United Socialist Utopia of Gavin Newsom's California, according to the feds. Now, if you read liberals, they apparently yesterday Hollywood is stepping up to the plate. They're going all in on donating to Gavin. I've watched this movie before. Just because you get the early money and you become the early front runner doesn't mean you end up being the candidate. But I'd say he's probably, as of today, 3 years away, he's probably the odds-on favorite, I would argue, to be the Democratic nominee.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
You know, with war in the Middle East, war in Europe, I mean, so many untold tens and tens of thousands of people have been suffering, and they are all in need of the bare necessities of life. They need food and water and medication and clothing and shelter. You name it, they need it. Told you about Maria, 85 years old, lives alone, nearly blind, broken hip, a Holocaust survivor. Her father and brother murdered by the Nazis. Now, she still lives in her childhood home. She doesn't have indoor plumbing, no heat. It's bitter cold, and she barely has enough food to survive. Now, you can help us through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. For example, a $25 gift will provide survival food boxes, and that's life-saving aid for people like Maria. Whatever you can donate, your generosity makes it all possible. Call now, 888-488-IFCJ, 888-488-IFCJ, or online, just go to HannityForTheFellowship.org. That's HannityForTheFellowship.org.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies as high temperature readings will stay around the lower 30s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies with overnight lows in the upper teens to around 20. And then we'll see considerable cloudiness on Thursday. Some scattered snow showers with high temperature readings up in the mid and upper 30s for most areas. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Thank you for...
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, there's one other thing. One piece of audio that we didn't snag from the president's cabinet meeting yesterday. We could have, but we were already grabbing too much. But definitely something of interest here in Montana in particular, dealing with rural health care at nursing homes in rural Montana in particular. RFK Jr., President Trump's Secretary for Health and Human Services, spoke about this topic in particular yesterday at the cabinet meeting. But thankfully, I've got a readout here from Senator Steve Daines. In fact, this was yet another topic that I could have brought up, but we were just short on time earlier in the hour when we caught up with Senator Steve Daines. But Senator Steve Daines applauding an announcement from U.S. DPHHS repealing a Biden-era rule that disproportionately burdened Montana's rural nursing homes. So this is probably also a good summary of what RFK Jr. had to say at the cabinet meeting yesterday. But Senator Steve Daines saying, quote, today's announcement, this came out yesterday, today's announcement from HHS is a massive win for Montana's senior citizens who deserve access to quality long-term care. Biden's one-size-fits-all staffing mandate undermined access to care for patients in our rural communities. And more than a dozen Montana nursing homes closed during his administration. I'm grateful to President Trump and his administration for putting the needs of our senior citizens first and for recognizing the workforce challenges that our rural communities face. Yeah, we talked a lot about nursing homes in particular during those Biden years because, in fact, frankly, you know, when the Medicaid expansion debate came up before the Montana legislature, the Democrats were just virtue signaling left and right. Oh, it's about rural health care, about rural health. You guys were the ones who destroyed rural health care. We saw what you were doing with your big government HHS mandates under Biden like this one. We saw what you were doing with your COVID mandates and your stupid lockdowns that you were trying to keep in place long. You were destroying rural health care with that. I mean, give me a break. And there they were just virtue signaling about rural health care. President Trump and Senate Republicans have been showing real commitment to rural health care on that front. You know, the other thing, you know, we talk about affordability and pricing. And, you know, one thing I know a lot of Montanans, we want our beef. We know that beef is the original superfood, right? You think about all the vitamins, all the nutrients, the protein that's packed into just one piece of beef. It's just remarkable. But beef's getting pretty expensive right now. Well, one way you can actually not only save money, but you can also get better tasting beef at the same time. I mean, the stuff in the stores are great too, don't get me wrong. But if when you get Montana beef, I'll tell you what, you can taste the difference. And oftentimes your pocketbook can feel the difference as well. Let me tell you about Reminisce Angus Ranch. I don't even need to tell you about them. You get a chance to hear Brian Massard out of Dillon join us every so often here on the show. Talk about it firsthand. Reminisce Angus Ranch, you can find their beef jerky in several town pump locations, especially in, you know, from Billings to Bozeman. There's some town and country stores where you can find their beef in the store right there, or you can just order direct. You can go to remangus.com. That's remangus.com, and get the beef delivered straight to your house. They've even got a new beef tallow kind of skincare product that's out right now. This tallow is becoming very popular, so they've even got that skincare product coming out right now. So yeah, check them out, remangus.com. All right, one of the stories I talked about yesterday, there was a KTVQ story. Billings officials weigh in on statewide mental health facility coming to Laurel. We've got State Senator Mike Yakovich and State Senator Dennis Lenz, two Billings Republicans, in studio coming up right after this Fox News update here on Montana Talks. We're going to talk with them in the first half of the 7 o'clock hour coming up.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.